Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're continuing our examination of the book of Philippians. We're in the fourth chapter, and I believe we covered the first two verses in our last episode together. You know, I really need to go back and check that, don't I? Yes, we did. There we go. I thought we did. And so I actually thought we'd get along a little further than we did, but that always happens, right? So let's go to the Philippians, fourth chapter. Let's look at those first two verses again to set the context. And it says this in verse 1. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. So he's encouraging them. He's exhorting them to stand firm. He calls them beloved twice. He declares that they are brethren, so he's just letting them know how much he loves them, how much he cares for them, and the very fact that they are his joy and crown. You know, when we think about that, we think of what the joy and crown of our lives so often that's oriented around physical stuff, you know. We don't think of people as being the joy. The crowning achievement of your life is the fact that somebody is walking in right relationship with the Lord. That's the attitude. So in verse 2, he continues and he says, I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. So you see that Paul is encouraging and exhorting him, and he seizes a moment here because he knows something is going on. He knows something is happening here. So apparently there's a struggle here. There's something that's happening, and that there is disharmony rather than harmony. Well, he continues to encourage them in verse 3, but he also corrects them. He says, indeed, true companion, I ask you also to help these women who have shared my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Well, and I just love it the way that Paul does this in his writing. He'll be talking about one subject, one topic, and just throw a little spiritual hand grenade in there that gives such insight to the balance of the scripture. In this case right here, and he says, whose names are in the book of life. You see an appearance of the book of life. And throughout scripture, you see there's different kinds of books. Most of us are familiar with the Lamb's book of life. But then there's the book of life, and there's a big debate. Are they synonymous? Are they same? We won't get into that right now, but it is worth examining and see what the scripture says about it. You'll see that there's books. There's a collections of books and things. So he's declaring that these ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, their names are written in the book of life, that they are fellow workers, that they have done great things and have struggled in the cause of the gospel. So Paul is encouraging the true companion, whoever he's writing this to. That's interesting, isn't it? He says, y'all, come on, help them, okay? Help these folks get along with each other. And is that not a word for us today? Well, you know, in the midst of this corrective word, in the midst of this word of declaring that they are beloved and that they're brethren, Paul just, I mean, for him, he's getting ecstatic now, you know? In the fourth verse, he says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And remember the context of all this. Remember what had happened with them, how Paul had brought the gospel to Philippi. It's Philippians, right? And how they had seen that he had been beaten, how they saw him in prison, how they saw he and the entourage react to that. And now he's declaring to them, hey, don't let these things happen. Live in harmony in the Lord. How do you do that? By rejoicing in the Lord. Again, I say always, always rejoice in the Lord. Well, he continues on with verse 5. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Okay. Well, what's that speaking of? Is the Lord near? Well, not only is he near, but in the life of every true believer, he dwells within us. Okay, we know that. We rejoice in that understanding. I think, is he talking about the fact that the Lord is near from the perspective of the return of the Lord? Yeah, it could be. It literally means that the Lord is at hand, okay? The Lord is at hand here. So let your gentle spirit be known. Let that spirit of the Lord be manifest. Don't get caught up in things that would bring disharmony, but rather live in the harmony of the Lord. Manifest that gentleness, that gentle spirit, because the Lord is near us all the time. He continues on in the next two verses. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Then the next word is but. Okay, so we'll look at the but part of it in a second. The bulk of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, is about not being anxious. Okay? Not being anxious. That is a strategy of the evil one. I know more people who are true believers. I believe they are true believers. But they are caught up and consumed in worry and in anxiety. Now, I'm not talking about the type of thing that we encounter where you're concerned for your children. You wonder about this, wonder about that. It's more an attitude of the heart. If you are anxious to where you are bound by things, if your worry and concern and fretting brings that type of burden and binding in your life, then that's not of God. Okay? And what it really is, and boy, people really get bent out of shape when you tell them this, it's really idolatry. That is really idolatry. Because you say that you trust in the Lord. You say that you're putting your faith there. You say you're resting in there. But anxiousness, anxiety, and worry and fretting prove otherwise. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but, so how can I keep from being anxious like that? Here he tells us, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So let those requests be made known to God in everything. Do so in prayer and in supplication. Notice with thanksgiving. So he's calling us to rejoice. He's calling us to give thanks. He's calling us to make known those requests, all of them. Make them known to God. And you say, well, I know that God knows. Yes, God knows, but he's wanting to make sure that you know and to clue you in the midst of the making known of everything. Then the last verse for the day, Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How is it that you be anxious for nothing? Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit be known because the Lord is near. But do this in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make the request known to God. Bring it before God. When you do this, you will have the peace of God, a peace of God which surpasses all comprehension. And it actually means this idea which surpasses all the mind. It will transition beyond the mind and transition beyond what you see in the natural. And what will be the outcome of that? He will guard your heart and he will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Folks, there's so much in these four verses right here, Philippians 4, verses 4 through verses 7. Again, rejoice in the Lord. Let your gentle spirit be known. Be anxious for nothing and rest in the peace of God. Know this, that the Lord is near. Know this, he will hear your request made known in this way. Know this, he will guard your hearts and he'll guard your mind in Christ Jesus. Well, thank you so much for being with me. Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you again next time.